You're listening to the Restoration Church podcast, and we are finally gathering together at the Lyric Theater in person in a limited capacity on Sunday mornings. And there are two ways to join us. So go to restorationlex.com/regathering, where you can reserve a seat and find out everything you need to know about our in-person gatherings, or click on the link and join our Facebook Live on Sunday mornings at 11 a.m., wherever you are worshiping with us as one big family. Again, that's restorationlex.com/regathering. All right, let's jump in.
We do appreciate that, and this year we're committing to telling more stories and making our values with home churches visible for folks. And our heart is to see more and more home churches begin and continue to grow. And I love what Chad and Karen's group does and continues to do. We're so excited to see that each week and just hear stories. So you'll be hearing more stories from home churches. If you want to find out more, restorationlex.com/community, and you can find out more about home churches. So a couple quick announcements. First, as we've begun to, get the ball rolling here, this is our third week. We're seeing some particular volunteer needs that are coming up that are unique because things aren't like what they used to be. One of them is, for instance, working with sound and things like that. So if you're interested in volunteering for these gatherings, if you're not already, come see me. We would love to hear, or come see Hannah. We would love to talk to you about what that could look like, whether that's you here today or you listening on the live stream as well. We'd love to get you connected like that. Volunteering is on Sundays is one of my favorite things because you connect in ways you don't normally beforehand and afterwards, and just build relationships. So I really encourage you guys to do that. And then secondly, giving. We have basically touchless giving right now. We have the box outside. There's you can scan to go to our giving website, restorationlex.com/give, and also there's text to give. Text 84321, the dollar sign. You can see that there on the screen. You guys have continued to be generous, and we're so grateful for that. Our 20% partner for this month, we're giving away 20% of everything taken in to partners that restore in our city and beyond each month. This month, it's the William L. Brown Community Center, attached to William L. Brown Elementary School. It's just down the road here from us, and so we love those folks and love to support them. So that's what your giving's going towards, is outside the walls of the church, continuing to serve in our city as much as possible. Even when we can't be there, we can be generous. And I love that. So, all right. Well, we are continuing today, Restoried Journey Through the Scriptures. We are 3 weeks into the season. The church is traditionally called Eastertide, as we see the fruits of the resurrection continue to grow and to grow and to grow and to go. And so after the resurrection, Jesus, for 40 days, he appears to his disciples, and he continues to teach about the kingdom of God. And all of this culminates in Acts chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, when he's being asked by his disciples, when are you going to restore the nation of Israel? The nationalistic dream is still present even after all of the teaching about the kingdom of God. And here's how Jesus responds to this. He says, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You know, up until this point, the Jesus community was centered around a small number of disciples made up of one ethnic group, and because of the resurrection, this gospel, this good news cannot be contained to one group of people in one place in one time. The gospel was for everyone. The gospel still is for everyone. And Jesus tells them that the Holy Spirit, when he empowers us, he sends us out. They'd be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, which were people who were mostly just like them. But then also in Samaria, who were their enemies and to the ends of the earth. The gospel keeps propelling them outward. That's what the book of Acts shows us. It's that gospel always sends us out beyond our comfort, out beyond our context, out beyond our power and abilities into the place where God will meet us. God is always sending people out to places that we just don't imagine. And today we have this story, this beautiful picture of this outward movement. Outside of comfort, outside of expectations and norms, we find ourselves in Acts chapter 8. All this is going to be on the screen, but you have your Bible at home. Follow along with us as well. And what's happening is that this martyr named Stephen, he's a deacon, he's publicly executed because of his faith, the first Christian martyr. And this act of violence, it just begins to open up the floodgates of persecution. Acts 8:1 says, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." Now, do those places in that verse right there sound familiar? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. These are the places we just read about in Acts 1:8. Through the suffering of the disciples, they're being sent on mission to the very place Jesus said they would go. Persecution even sends them out on mission. And that's where we encounter this man named Philip, who is one of Jesus' original 12 disciples. He doesn't get a lot of airtime when you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but when he is scattered along with the disciples, he's sent as well. Verse 4 and 5 say, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah there." Now, I'm pretty certain on his own, Philip would not have gone to Samaria. I mean, who wants to go to the land of the enemies? And yet, throughout this trauma and suffering in his own life, being scattered away from those he loved, from his family, trying to hide from people who are killing him, through all of this, through trials, through hindrance, he still expects God to move. Philip still has this belief that God is always present and at work among us, even in, I would say, especially in those places and seasons and circumstances that God has brought us into that we never thought we would be there. God's still at work. Philip's life teaches us that. And then we moved on down to verse 26. We see this on display in powerful ways. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' And so he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.'" Now, a lot of thought to unpack here. Let's start here with the Ethiopian eunuch. In the ancient world, it was common for queens and kings and powerful people to castrate their servants in order to keep them focused on what they wanted to keep them focused on and not other things. This is not obviously an easy reality to live in. We call these folks eunuchs. And eunuchs had this unfortunate fate to where they were the outsider. They were the ones, because of what someone had done to them, they did not exist for themselves. They existed for the gain of others. They were exploited just for what they could do for someone else. It was a dehumanizing practice and way of seeing life. And as a native African, he certainly, in Jerusalem especially, would have had an extra layer of exclusion. Because even though it says he's the treasurer of the queen of Ethiopia, which means he had access to great wealth, he was a Gentile. And this alone would have normally just barred him from most of the areas of the temple. But as a eunuch, The Jewish law says in Deuteronomy 23 that he's forbidden from entering the temple of the Lord. Think about what this says about this man. He travels thousands and thousands of miles to Jerusalem to worship, even knowing he's going to be excluded. He is pursuing God in this moment the best way he knows how. He even has this expensive scroll, which would have cost a lot of money to have. He's reading it on the way home. And through all of this, even in being excluded from community, he is still pursuing God in the scriptures. And yet, even as he rides away from the place that he longed to be in Jerusalem, God is still pursuing this man. God does not see this man as an outsider. God, in pursuing him, pursues him through this man named Philip. What's amazing about this story is that God doesn't really give Philip any kind of detailed direction. He just says, go to that road. And now this road from Jerusalem to Gaza was a 50-mile journey. So imagine God giving you direction to go somewhere, and it could be anywhere within the span of 50 miles. But Philip, he trusts the Holy Spirit's leading. He trusts the voice of the Lord, and so he just begins to walk the road. And it's not until he sees the Ethiopian eunuch's chariot that the Holy Spirit begins to prompt him again. It says, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. I love what Philip teaches us about the mission of God in our lives in this moment, because we know that God is always present and at work in all things. We have to stay in a posture of patient, dependent expectation, listening, looking for what God is already doing, already saying, and then having the courage to join him. Here's what let's keep reading. It says, then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. How can I? He said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very same passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. This passage comes from Isaiah 53. It speaks of the crucifixion of Jesus, but more importantly, it speaks of the fact that Jesus was rejected. Jesus was excluded. What he is learning in this moment is not just the gospel and Jesus' death. He's learning about Jesus' solidarity in his suffering. Jesus' solidarity in his exclusion. There is no pain that this eunuch has experienced that Jesus himself has not experienced as well. And there's so many parallels to the story we looked at last week, of the road to Emmaus. There are people who are on a literal spiritual journey. There are people who come and walk alongside them. And as a result of this, new life in Jesus is found. Last week we had Cleopas and his friend, and they're walking with Jesus. They have the right Jesus, but they have the wrong story. And this week with the eunuch, he has access to the story, but what he didn't have was the Jesus who holds every single story together. And that is why God sent Philip. You see, when he was pursuing that chariot, running alongside, that was God pursuing the eunuch in the life of Philip. He was pursuing the outcast, the overlooked, the excluded. Think about this. The one who could not get access to the temple met the God of the temple in the desert. The one who could not go to the altar met the one who became the sacrifice for him right in the middle of the desert. The one who served kings and queens was now having a place at the table of the King of Kings. Beautiful. Let's continue reading in Acts chapter 8. It says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. So, my friends, why would he need to get baptized immediately? Why is this feeling that he just had to get into the water? I think it's because of what baptism means. See, there was no church service in the middle of the desert. There was no people around to witness this. All he had was this new belief in the Jesus of his life, his death, and his resurrection. And that is, my friends, what baptism is all about. It is about the death and resurrection of Jesus. You see pictures from the times that we have baptized here. So out there with the hot tub we blow up, it's been some of the most memorable moments in our church's story. Just getting to watch people take that step of faith forward and say, this is my old life that is being buried, and this is my new life that is coming back again. Romans 6:4 says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have new life. I think that's why he could not wait to be baptized, because when the gospel meets him where he is, in the deepest place of his soul, and takes a hold of him, the old is gone and the new has come. The old has gone and the new has come. The eunuch could not return home the same. He was no longer an outcast in the kingdom of God. He is now fully and finally belonging to the family of God. And now returning home, the early church reports that the early church fathers, they reported that he preached the gospel back in Ethiopia, a country that today, my friends, has 77 million Christians. It's one of the most Christian countries in the entire world. The Ethiopian Orthodox Church is also one of the oldest churches in the entire world. Christianity was thriving in Africa long before Europe ever saw a thing, long before England and Westminster Abbey and all of those fancy places. Christianity was absolutely exploding in Africa. Some of our best theologians in church history are from Africa. All this began here with this Ethiopian and one man being open and in tune to what God was already doing around him, and then having the courage to take that step into the unknown. We believe restoration. God is always pursuing people, right? We believe that God is always preparing the way. The question for us today, the question for us always is, will we go? Will we listen? I heard this story recently about this Brazilian missionary. Her name was Bralia Ribeiro. And in 1983, she and some other students, they're young, they're in college, they decided to set off and try to reach a tribe in the Amazon that had never heard the gospel before. And this was deep. This was so deep in the jungle that it would take 2 whole weeks of travel just to get where this village was. And when they got there, they found out that they had to spend all the money that they actually had just to get a boat ride to where they needed to go. So they had to make this decision. I have to trust that God will provide for where he is sending us. So they paid for the boat ride, not knowing how they would eat, not knowing how they would sleep. just knowing that God was sending them and they needed to follow. And after this long and dangerous journey, they finally reached this village and they found a woman that was on the shore and she began waving to them. She brought them ashore. She began to feed the missionaries. And after a while, Bralia, the missionary, she said, "We are missionaries. We are here to help you know Jesus, the Son of God." And the woman who was waving on the banks, she looked at her grandson and said, "Take them to their home." And the missionary said, our home?" This confused the missionaries because they didn't expect any of this. But the woman said to them, "We built this hut 2 summers ago, preparing for your arrival. We heard on the radio about the Creator God and how His Son Jesus wants to help us. And I said, if this is true, He will send His people. So we built this hut for you." Hear those words of her again. If this is true, He will send His people. If what we believe is true, God will send us. If what we believe, this gospel we have clinged to, really is true, we should be sent as His people. And the gospel is true, my friends. And God has not stopped speaking. God has not stopped sending. I want to tell you an astounding truth for you and I today, and that is that God is already preparing people in your path who will have an encounter with Christ through your obedience. It's not a question of if God is at work in our lives, in the ordinary spaces, in the people that we encounter every day. It's a matter of if, like Philip, we are willing to listen. We are willing to respond. We are willing to have the courage to move forward and trust that God will send His people. I believe that this week, I really do, that we're going to have some divine encounters that God ordains for us. And I want to challenge you. I want to pray for you. Really, just 3 words that have been on my heart all week, and that is openness, dependence, and expectation. Number one, are you open to what God is doing right in the middle of your life right now? Are you open to God being active, not just in a room like this, but God being active and ready and willing to move your jobs, your school, your neighborhood, the places you hang out, the grocery store? What if God was just as present and at work in those places that He is in a room like this? So are you open? Secondly, are you dependent? Because God is not sending you in your power. He's not sending me in my power because, trust me, it's not enough. It is not enough. And so with that openness comes the realization that we must depend on the power of God for the mission of God He is sending us to. And finally, expectation. Do you expect God to move? Do you expect God to meet you and equip you and empower you for where He is sending you to? Openness, dependence, and expectation. God is moving, church. God is moving, and not just here. He's moving in your life already. So I want to listen, and I want to have courage to step out, and I want you to too. So Father, that's what I pray for us. You open up our eyes and our ears to see what on our own we just cannot see. Jesus, I pray for a divine courage, because it's scary stepping out. It's easy to walk into a room like this and sing and listen. It's hard to know that you're preparing a way for us places we're not used to you working. And so give us courage. Teach us to be dependent on your power in this. Help us to be expectant for what you are doing. And Jesus, I pray right now boldly that this week people have an encounter with Jesus through the people in this room, through the people who are watching or listening right now, that because of our obedience, someone gets to see Jesus in a way they never have before, because we were willing to listen. We pray this in your name. Amen. We're going to take some time celebrate communion together. As you came in, hopefully you got a cup. You don't have to, but we encourage you. We'd love for you to participate in that. And just as Hannah plays here for a second, just take a moment to just be still. Listen to the voice of the Lord, maybe what he's speaking to you even here in this moment. And remember the very words that the eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53 that said, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. We like sheep have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way, but the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We celebrate every week that we have a home in Jesus. We have a family in Jesus. And this is the meal that draws us together with God and with one another. And so let's sing, let's reflect, let's listen, and see what the Lord wants to do today.